Stocks go up, stocks go down. Invest like a pro, not like a clown.
Here's the latest financial news from the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
All right, Jeff Bellinger, what do we have here? What do we have here? A story of failure. Give me a failure story.
All right. An online service to serve up short videos turned out to be one of Hollywood's biggest flops. Quibi, which was founded by movie mogul Jeffrey Katzenberg, shutting down. Katzenberg and Quibi CEO Meg Oliver are not known for their failures. They say Quibi is not going away for lack of trying. It just didn't catch on with consumers, never generated any buzz.
How long was it around?
Not long.
It was a matter of months, I thought it read, yeah.
Yeah, just it was a matter of months, founded earlier this year, I believe.
Okay, layoffs coming to ExxonMobil.
Yeah, CEO Darren Woods has warned employees about pending job cuts. He sent out an email talking about it. Woods did not indicate how many workers might lose their jobs. He said low oil prices have forced the company to delay major projects. Woods also defended fossil fuels, saying they have a higher purpose and aid global prosperity.
Absolutely. Target has some new safety protocols. I guess this is a COVID-related issue.
It is. It's related to COVID and the holiday shopping season. The chain's already stepped up disinfection and cleaning at its stores, and it's offering curbside pickup. Now the Target app has been updated so consumers can use their mobile devices for contactless payment in stores. They can also use the app to find out whether there's a line to enter a nearby store, and it's doubling the number of parking spaces for drive-up service.
I just thought of that. Will Santa be wearing a mask at the store, at the mall?
If Santa even comes to the mall, that's one of the questions, yeah.
Well, that's tradition.
It is.
All right, futures are.
Away from a distance. All right, futures, a little bit lower. S&P futures down 4 points. NASDAQ futures are down 3. Dow futures are down 38 this hour. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, it's about 11 after 8 o'clock, 700 WLW, and. Fundraiser comes up each and every year that you can involve yourself in, and there's something in it for you, too, like a clean car. It benefits big brothers and big sisters all over the place, and to that end, we bring in Deb Haas, who is the president, CEO. Spokesperson.
I have a fantastic person in that role. No, I'll just be here talking a little PR about my car wash.
All right, usually it's a one-day thing, like on a Saturday when it's nice and sunny, but you've expanded, so it's multiple days, and it begins today.
It is underway right now. Yes, it was supposed to be this Saturday, but because the weather is looking a little iffy, they very generously are now doing this fundraiser for 3 days. So today, tomorrow, and Saturday, all Mike's Car Wash locations do this fundraiser for Big Brothers Big Sisters and all of their anybody who buys a Works or an Ultimate Wash on any of those days. Half the cost will be donated to the local Big Brothers Big Sisters agency. Plus, there will be a donation bucket in case anybody wants to throw a couple dollars in there. So it could be huge over 3 days. We are really excited about it.
Yeah, so if it's, Mike's Car Wash in Indiana, that's where the money stays that's raised and all that stuff.
Right. There are 12 in our service area in Greater Cincinnati, and so all the money raised at those 12 will go to our agency. There are a couple in Butler County, so the money raised there will go to the Butler County agency. So we think it's great because people really know that they're supporting their own community.
Right. And nobody wants to, go vote in a dirty car. So I would plan plan ahead of time and do something about this sometime in the next 3 days.
Yeah, and today obviously is going to be the nicest of the days, but Saturday is now looking up too. And it's a great time to go get your car washed and knowing you're doing something good and helping some kids in the community at all Mike's Car Washes.
Lastly, there are plenty of kids out there looking for somebody to be matched up with, to go do things with, and try to maybe influence the kid's life.
Yes, and that's a great point because some people think with things going on right now that we're not matching kids, but that's not true. We are still making matches. We always need volunteers, and you can just Google us at Big Brothers Big Sisters Cincinnati, and you'll get to our website where you can fill out the application. So always looking for Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and we always need donations. So this is a great week to get involved in both those ways.
Yeah, if you don't get the big wash, there's always a donation bucket there. You can always throw a buck in if you're tight.
Exactly, and they also will also take credit cards because we know a lot of people aren't carrying so much cash, so you can you can make a donation with your credit card, too.
That's a good deal. All right. Yeah. Deb Haas, thanks and good luck with the whole thing, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you. That sounds great. We'll see you.
All right. Bye-bye. It's about 8:13. 8:13, 700 WLW, still to come, yet in this hour. Brad Garrett, how the Iranians and the Russians are finding you and trying to impact your faith and your very own electoral system. And Greg Stebbin, too. A lot of companies out there are putting a lot of money into artificial intelligence and feel they're not really getting anything back for their money. Know what I'm saying? All right, so what do we have? Study comes out as to Democrats and Republicans both believing in conspiracy theories, because both sides likes to think it's only the other side. Actually, it's pretty even across the board, saying that misinformation about COVID-19 is most pronounced among Republicans. 48% believe the disease is no more dangerous than the flu. 42% say hydroxychloroquine, the anti-malaria drug championed by the president, is safe and effective for the virus, even though science says it is not. 60% of Democrats believe Russia has compromising information about Trump. About the same percentage of Republicans are convinced there's been a coordinated effort by unelected government officials to undermine the Trump administration. And actually, we've heard via the White House that some of that is true. Less than half of those surveyed, 44%, said they'd be willing to get a no-cost FDA-approved vaccine. Less than half said they would do it to prevent COVID-19. That's roughly equal, by the way, among Democrats and Republicans. It's 47% of Democrats and 45% of Republicans. So see, there's something people can agree on. However, only 21% of black Americans believe the same. You see, American society faces a genuine crisis in public trust in government, corporations, and the media, exacerbated by wide partisan divides about who and what to believe. And you kind of wonder, and social media has a lot to do with the big divide between people, but the fact that we know that, say, the Russians and Iranians are out there trying to sow discord between Americans, to what degree do they play a role in this? And if, in fact, you have a problem and you hate Democrats and you steal yard signs and things like that, how much are you doing the will of the Iranians and the Russians? Doesn't matter if you're stealing Biden signs. Doesn't matter if you're stealing Trump signs. That's what our enemies want us to do. Are you playing into their hands? You have to believe it's possible. And Brad Garrett will have the other side of that when we get to him in just a couple. Meanwhile, we will check our traffic, and we tends to mean Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty nice out there.
Yeah, you think?
Well, Jennifer said it was going to start out as a cloudy day. We might see sun later, but I think I see some right now.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. All right, what you got traffic-wise?
From the UC Health Traffic Center, in Preferred Cancer Care lives better outcomes. Schedule your annual cancer screening with UC Health by calling 513-475-8000. Traffic, not as nice. There's a wreck inbound 74 to Montana over on the shoulder. Then on eastbound Fort Washington Way, shortly after you come off of the bridge, there's a wreck. That, too, on the shoulder. They're cleaning up on 32 above 8 Mile on Victory at Dana, Virginia at Colerain and Mason, Montana. Montgomery above Fields Hurdle. 28 remains blocked between Goshen and Blanchester due to an early morning accident near Marl-Rossburg. Chuck Ingram, News Radio 700 WLW.
Sunshine today. See, I was going to say cloudy, but the sun's out and sunshine. We will get up to right around 80 for our high. Overnight tonight, the clouds come in. We're down to 61. Then tomorrow, we have scattered rain. About 76 tomorrow before it turns colder. Tomorrow night for football could be kind of wet, and it's going to start to cool down. The low is 50 on Friday night, but then over the weekend, we're about 20 degrees cooler. We'll be upper 50s for a high on Saturday, mid-60s for a high on Sunday. Sunday's supposed to be pretty nice overall. And right now, sitting at 59, finally up one. 59 degrees, 700 WLW. You bet. You bet, you too. It's about coming up on 8:25. And, it's funny, those emails supposedly came from the Proud Boys. And then you had this group of anti-Trumpers out there, the Lincoln Project, who are, Republicans who are out to see to it Trump is defeated. Republicans who hate Trump, basically. And as soon as the word got out that this is what was happening. They pretty much swallowed hook, line, and sinker the idea that the Proud Boys were doing it. So the Lincoln Project put out a tweet saying the Proud Boys are attempting to scare voters away from the polls. This is punishable by up to a year in jail and a blatant attempt to prevent people from voting. Let's find them and make them famous. And it's not them. It's Russians and or Iranians. And then the FBI director, Chris Wray, jumped in and said, you should be confident your vote counts. Early unverified claims to the contrary should be viewed with a healthy dose of skepticism. And they should. So it is not the Proud Boys. It's foreigners. You can make a pen pal. If you want the UC, good news for you, and I had this earlier, but much earlier, University of Cincinnati is among the top 500 best universities in the world. Not the United States, in the world. U.S. News and World Report, I don't know if they used to, if they've ranked these every year. The first time I've noticed it, anyway. Best global universities, UC is number 202 in the world, tying with the University of Brussels in Belgium. Now, how do they know that's a tie? How do you compare a school in Cincinnati and one in Brussels? Oh, that's a tie. It's a toss-up. That's the third highest school in Ohio. Ohio State and Case Western are both ahead of UC. Miami, by the way, came in number 1,140, which is pretty random. So around here, I'm trying to see. This does not include any Kentucky schools. I'll have to find that separately. But, yeah, Wright State was in there, 1,300. Toledo's in there. Ohio U, number 689. So, anyway, that's a good number. 202 for Ohio State. For UC. Ohio State, by the way, is number 45. The best in the state of Ohio. Coming up on 827 here at 700 WLW. We have some Bengal update coming your way. Which is this particular show called there, Danny Boy? The Bengal what? The Rocky and Mo Show is what this is. And then we'll get around to some of the predictions made in 2016 about what would happen if Donald Trump ever got elected. See how many came true.
Learn to make your money work. Just listen up. Don't be a jerk.
It's time for the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
All right, Jeff Bellinger is standing by, and Jeff, we have a report on new unemployment claims. What do the numbers look like?
Yeah, well, they look better than expected. Jobless claims fell to 787,000 last week. Economists thought we'd be hearing about 870,000, so that's essentially positive news, but layoffs, of course, remain alarmingly high 7 months into the pandemic.
All right, they're still talking stimulus, maybe.
Yeah, one of the things troubling investors, but Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi are not giving up. They plan to talk again today about a possible economic stimulus package. Of course, time is running out if there's to be any hope of an agreement before Election Day. A Pelosi spokesman said the two sides are better prepared to reach a compromise on several priorities after yesterday's talks.
All right. Vaccine trials could restart soon. Which ones?
Well, the AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson specifically, the trial of AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine is still on hold here in the U.S. because a trial participant in the U.K. became ill last month. Trials, though, have resumed in the U.K. and other nations, and reports say the U.S. trial will resume soon, and so will the one involving the Johnson & Johnson vaccine candidate.
Now, someone had a participant fall ill, but it turned out they had taken a placebo, so it was...
That's right. There was a participant in the AstraZeneca trial in Brazil who actually died after getting a shot, but he did not receive the vaccine, so okay. They moved on.
All right. Okay, futures are?
They are lower. S&P futures down 7 points. NASDAQ futures are down 13, and the Dow futures are down 45. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
700 WLW. Let's talk a little business here with our business insider man, Greg Stebbin. He joins me once a week, and an article here on artificial intelligence and AI has been the buzz. It's going to take over the world, we all know. But this piece shows that not that many companies that try to utilize artificial intelligence find that it's doing them any good, right?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. You mentioned the story in Wired. The headline is companies are rushing to use AI, but few see a payoff. There's a similar story in Forbes. Companies will spend $50 billion on AI this year with little to show for it. And you know what? For us humans, the reason most companies are failing when trying to implement AI is really good news for us. It turns out that you can't just unleash the computer and let it take over everyone's job. No, actually, it needs the humans to teach it. And I don't think that's going to change. Artificial intelligence only gets smarter when it becomes a member of a team with us, the humans. So I wouldn't fear AI. I would actually start studying it and try to figure out how can I become an expert at AI so I can help AI do a better job. I do a better job, and then I'm worth a lot more to my company, so they have to pay me more.
Sure, sure. But where do you learn that? You know what I'm saying? Where do you learn that, Greg Stebbin?
Well, you could start with Google. I mean, really, in all seriousness, if you think about it, you're already great at the job you have, right? I mean,
Right. Are
you better at your job than you were 5 years ago?
I'm kind of slacking these days. No, I'm kidding.
Yes, I'm sure I am. In our jobs. So it's that natural learning and application of things and evolution that humans can do that makes, this is really what this story in Wired says, it's really what makes AI powerful for companies, but you can't remove the humans from that equation. So take your expertise in the job you already have and then begin to study how AI works. I mean, this story in Wired would be a great place to start.
Yeah.
Learn what other companies are doing, where they've failed and where they've succeeded. They talk a lot about DHL, for instance, and how they have successfully used AI, and begin to apply what companies like DHL have learned to what you do in your company, in your industry. And the next thing you know, you're the go-to person in your company for how do we make this stuff work? And you no longer have the job you have, but some very elevated job. And frankly, I don't know about you, but I want to be in a position where the company desperately needs me and right. Not the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure people here working at DHL have used it. I guess it helps them know, you know, the proper way to load a plane or what's too much of a load or what you wait till the next flight and things like that. So, yeah, they're one of the few. I think the Wired piece said that only about 11% of companies that invested in AI are getting much of a payback. So
DHL is
one of them.
11% is not very much. But you know what? I don't think it's going to go away. I think companies are going to get better at using AI. They're going to feel the pressure to do it from their competitors and companies in other industries like DHL. And frankly, what's going to happen is there's going to be an explosion of AI experts within different industries. And that, I think, is both the opportunity for people who are employees today, but it's also the great lesson if you're a manager or a business owner. Don't just say, oh, we should pay to execute some AI to take care of this process within our business. If you read this Wired story, what you're going to realize is the companies that are most successful kind of start out without too specific a goal in mind and let themselves learn about what AI is capable of and pivot or change their goals as they begin to understand AI better, and the AI begins to understand their business better, and the AI learning about your business part, that's the part that requires the humans. Everybody can win here as long as you stop being blind about what you think you can accomplish and really have an open mind about what might be possible that you never even thought of.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably doesn't have anything to do with AI, but just thinking of warehouse thing. I just saw a piece the other day that forklift drivers are no longer, the push is to not have them drive the forklift. They sit in an office and operate the forklift from there. And they have 360 vision. You can see if anything's coming. I mean, and you are a forklift driver. You never get on a forklift. You sit in a chair. It's funny. The guy was sitting in a chair in front of a computer with his hard hat on and the fluorescent vest, like, as though he was working in the warehouse, and he wasn't.
Well, and so, you know, one of the first things that my mind focused on as you were telling me that, I hadn't heard that, is that Watch your liability costs go down.
Yeah.
Watch your efficiency go up. Watch the forklifts begin to talk to each other and be able to talk to those operators. But you're not going to get rid of the operators. You're just going to need a higher, a forklift operator with a greater level of experience who's willing to learn a new skill.
Yeah.
And that's really what this is all about here is if you're not willing to learn something new, there's a good chance AI is going to leave you behind. But if you embrace it and learn everything you can about it, the future is going to be yours.
No doubt about it. All right, Greg Stebbins, all the time we have, we got to go. But I always appreciate talking to you. It's good to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
You betcha. We'll do it again. 8:46 our time, 700 WLW. Not really artificial intelligence, but I like the fact that my phone has learned to notify me that the incoming call is potential spam. That's one of my favorite updates. In a long, a lot of updates, I didn't even notice what it updated. That one's my favorite. Hear your phone buzzing, potential spam. Well, good. Little something to ignore, know what I'm saying? All right. Well, we got 8:47. The comment on AI, Tim had a point he wanted to make, so let's do that. Yeah, Tim, what's going on?
Good morning, Mike. That your phone's ability to do that might actually be AI. My 12-year-old showed me a video the other day on YouTube. It was a cartoon that explained what AI is. So a human writes a line of code, and that code is what we'll call a builder bot. It's a bot that writes code. And what they're doing is they're trying to figure out whether or not a picture is a 3, like the number 3, or a bee, like a honey bee. And what they do is they show these words, the builder bot, the code that the human writes, he writes it, so let's say 100,000 different codes, and all these little worker bots, they look at a trillion different pictures. And every one that they get right is a check in the right box. But every one they get wrong, if they don't get at least 97.9% of the pictures correct, then much like Darwin's theory of relativity, they die. So they keep all the good worker bots, the good algorithms that can tell the difference between a 3 and a B. And eventually they come up with an algorithm that is 99.9% correct. And every time they show this bot a picture of a 3 or a B, it can tell the difference. And so that thing inside your phone is probably a bot that has been, you know, manipulated or created to correctly tell the difference between a real incoming phone call and spam.
That made some sense, but send me the cartoon. I'll watch it myself.
Okay. The best part about it is the actual ending algorithm was never touched by a human. Because the human only writes the code of the algorithm that builds the worker bots. By the time the final process is done, that code wrote all that other AI. And so it's never, humans can't even read the code. They can't even understand what it means because it's gone through so many metamorphosis between the time it was first created and the one that actually gets it 99.9% of the time right.
That's why they say watch out, because AI could take over the world.
It's amazing. I will. I'll find you the video and I'll send it to you. It's absolutely fantastic.
All right. Thank you. I'll look forward to it.
Have a good morning.
Yeah. I'll be that much brighter for the effort. AI is not going to take over the world. You know why?
Why?
We can shoot it. Computer starts taking over my world, I could shoot it.
I never felt so much like I just wanted to say, I got a rock.
Well, it's just like, you know, Yosemite Sam that thing. Hey, varmint computer. Well, first you could unplug it.
Yeah.
And if somehow it works its way around that, shoot it.
Varmint.
AI can't shoot back.
Yeah.
It's not going to take over my world. All right, what's going on traffic-wise, sir?
Settling down. From the UC Health Traffic Center in Preferred Cancer Care lives better outcomes. Schedule your annual cancer screening with UC Health by calling 513-475-8000. Earlier accidents on the highways are clear. Now the wreck on 32 at 8 Mile is cleared out of the way. Leaves just a couple, and they're in the cleanup stages. Virginia at Colerain and Mason Montgomery above Fields Ertl. Chuck Ingram, News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, got sunshine right now, and we should have a lot of it throughout the day, getting up to 80 degrees. Tonight, clouds move in, 61, scattered rain tomorrow, 76. Tomorrow night, rainy-er, and then cooler over the weekend. It's 59, 700 WLW. Today is just Tim. We just want Tim's calling today, nobody but Tim's. Tim, yeah, what's up?
Well, Mike, first I want to wish you enjoyable days off there.
Thank you. I intend to.
And, you know, I'm thinking back with all these political ads that are on of all parties and all issues. I'm thinking back to the days of when Gary Burbank was on the air, and the day after the election,
he'd blow them up.
He would run each one. He did not play any favorites. He critiqued them pretty thoroughly, and then he would supplosion them, blow them up. And right. I would like to see if we could bring that back on your show, maybe in the 8 o'clock hour on the 4th.
Not a bad idea.
Thereafter.
But it's probably doable, probably. Yeah, Danny says we could do it.
I missed that from Gary. I think the two things I missed were that, and I missed All My Bengals, which even Mike Brown supposedly thought was a funny skit.
Yeah, I've thought about that a few times in the course of this season. If that was still around, he'd have plenty to talk about.
Absolutely.
My favorite campaign commercial right now is that Kate Schroeder would raise your taxes by $65,000 a year when the average Ohioan makes $54,000 a year. How's that possible? I don't know.
That's why Gary would critique them and blow them up.
That's my favorite.
He threw arrows at both parties. It was hilarious.
Yeah, they all deserve it. All right. We'll figure on it. Thanks and see. It's 8:52. All right, it's getting close to 9 o'clock. Scott Sloan, after news, going to be carrying the Amy Barrett confirmation vote for you to enjoy. The Democrats said they're boycotting, so it's a lot of I. Not a lot of drama to this. But 9:06, it is historical to a degree. Gather the kids around the radio. Say, come on, kids, you live in history. And check it out, 9:06 this morning. Meanwhile, what did I have? Talked about things the media was saying in 2016 as to what would happen if, in fact, Donald Trump were elected. What would happen? Well, one example here, the economists say a Trump win would tank the markets. This was in Politico, so they find whichever economists say that. And it says here, Wall Street is set up for a major crash if Donald Trump shocks the world on Election Day and wins the White House. The date on this was October 21st of 2016. New research put out Friday suggests the financial markets strongly prefer a Hillary Clinton presidency and could react with panicked selling should Trump defy the polls and deliver a shocking upset on November 8th. And he did, and the markets did just fine. In fact, they kind of took off. Did spectacularly well. There were others in here, too. The look from abroad. That was after the fact. The Guardian, what did they say here? They said, if Donald Trump wins, it'll be a new age of darkness. The writer for The Guardian in the UK. And it goes on and on about it, what a mess the world would be in if Donald Trump were to get elected. And he probably still thinks it is a mess, but my favorite is Elizabeth, because these claims are still being made, even though the claims that were made in 2016 did not come to be. It doesn't stop people from making claims now. And I've made this point once before, and I try to be pretty even-handed. One thing about a lot of Democrats or a lot of liberals is there's a tendency to almost believe in monsters, almost believe in spooks, almost believe in ultimate evil people, and more so than conservatives or Republicans do. Elizabeth Warren is one of those people. Now, coming up on an election, and just review what people were saying in 2016. What might happen if he were elected again, I must ask?
He has opened up for offshore drilling, and he has said yes to the oil companies. They can drill in the Arctic National Wildlife Preserve. Donald Trump threatens the existence of human life, of all life on this planet. And on November 3rd, we will hold Donald Trump accountable.
All life on the planet. That's a monster. That's what monsters do. That's what Godzilla does. If he gets elected, and we all know he's out to get everybody killed, you know, and the people cheer like that. No, that was a pretty stupid thing to say. I'm sorry. Haven't seen much coverage of her on the campaign trail for Biden. Haven't seen much coverage of other Democrats on the campaign trail for Biden. But anyway, I'm out of here. Sloan is next. I'm taking a few days off, a little vacation time, and Brew's going to be in here tomorrow and much of next week, I believe. I believe he is.
All of next week, I'm told. So I'll relax, you relax, and we'll reconvene just before the election. How about that? All right, it is news time, and you've got News Radio 700 WLW.